Welcome to the podcast of First Baptist Church, Warrensburg, Missouri, where it is our goal to bring people to a genuine and growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this podcast will be a blessing and encouragement to you.
It is hard making friends as a pastor. I mean, it's hard enough making friends when you're me. Being a pastor on top of it makes it near impossible. But I can remember exactly when Teresa and I met John and Emily back in 2016 in Gracie, Virginia. It was summertime. Teresa had taken the kids to the pool, and she noticed across the pool a young mom with a daughter who looked to be about the same age as ours. And so they introduced themselves. Teresa and Emily got talking. They exchanged numbers. Things were looking promising. Of course, eventually, Teresa did have to spill the beans and tell Emily that I was a Baptist pastor, which is usually the point that the conversations stop. But what made it a little more tricky was that Emily had been raised Roman Catholic. Her husband, John, had been raised Ukrainian Orthodox. And so because of their upbringing, because of their cultural background, they naturally had stereotypes of the Baptist pastor in their mind, and who wants to hang out with that guy? And so, you know, they were a little apprehensive and nervous, but Emily thought, Teresa seems pretty normal, so we'll give it a try. After a few more pool dates and getting together, eventually we got to that point where we wanted to have them over for dinner. And I'll never forget how Teresa finished setting those plans with Emily. It's the South, you know, and so you have to always offer to bring something when someone invites you over for dinner. And Teresa said, no, don't worry about it. You know, we got it all covered. You know, we're just really looking forward to our time of sweet fellowship. Thank you. Our time of sweet fellowship. Like, who talks like that, right? I mean, I have grown up in the church, and the only person I've ever heard talk like that are those annoying DJs on K-Love. Sweet fellowship, you know? Needless to say, for the family that was already pretty nervous about going to the Baptist pastor's house, now they were thoroughly terrified. Fortunately, they came anyway. They persevered. We had a great time, and we became very good friends still to this day. But they would later tell us that they were afraid that what sweet fellowship meant was that we were going to sacrifice a goat and drink Kool-Aid. Fortunately, we overcame that miscommunication. But, you know, in fairness to John and Emily, fellowship is a weird word. Right? Like, who knows what it really means, despite the fact that we say it all the time. You know, for me, growing up in a Southern Baptist church, when you say fellowship, I think like a table and a potluck dinner at the church building. Maybe for you, other things come to mind. I never understood why the first book of Tolkien's Lord of the Rings trilogy was called the Fellowship of the Ring. You know, they eat some of that movie together, but not a whole lot. So why is it a Fellowship of the Ring? But that was until about 2 years ago when I was really starting to study the book of Philippians in depth. Because right there at the beginning of Paul's letter, as Bob read, Paul refers to the fellowship that he and the Philippians share. And the Greek word there is koinonia. While this word is translated as fellowship often in the book of Acts, here Paul means it as a partnership. Because in the ancient world, koinonia was used to describe business partnerships. Or partnership in which one would share in the duty, the work of the business, but also would share in all the financial obligations and risk of the business as well. And so I realized as I was researching this word and this concept, what Tolkien actually meant when he used the word fellowship. Right? That the Fellowship of the Ring wasn't a social group. It was that the nine were united by the mission of destroying the Ring of Power. They committed to seeing this work accomplished, committed their talents, their energies, even their lives for the sake of accomplishing the mission. And so when Paul speaks here of the fellowship of the gospel between he and the Philippians, he's thinking about that commitment that they had each made, that mutual covenanting of resources, talents, even their lives for the sake of the gospel. In other words, as citizens of the kingdom, the church exists as those who have been called out of the world through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ to now be sent back into it as a fellowship, a partnership to see the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Friends, the church is the fellowship or the koinonia, the partnership of the gospel. And at this point that the Lord really started to do a work in me and thinking about, okay, what is the church? And what is the church supposed to do? And I think 2020 really forced us individually and collectively to be asking these questions of what is the church? We've been asking this past year, is the church the building? Is it the physical assembly of the people together once a week? Is the church the programs, the events? Is it a catchy bumper sticker? Is it a Facebook group? Because sadly, as many of these things were unavailable to us in 2020, we started to see commitment and engagement with the church fade. And I'm not just talking about FBC, I mean nationwide, worldwide. As I've talked to pastors here in the States, as I've talked to pastors across the globe, I've seen this common theme of people kind of fading away. And in other words, it seems as if 2020 has really refined the church. As those who are already committed followers of Jesus have made every effort to stay engaged, whereas those who were already lukewarm have just kind of drifted away. And so in light of this question of who or what should the church be, and in light of this context that's been forcing us to ask this question anew, we as pastors and elders have wanted to take a few weeks here at the beginning of 2021 to ask, what is the purpose? What is the vision? What is the mission of FBC? And we don't want to ask that question just in theory. We want to answer it very practically. And so we want over the next 6 weeks to define our vision and mission so that everybody understands what we're about, what we're not about. But then we also want to lay out the practical ways that every single one of us, as partners in the gospel, can now live out the vision and mission of our church. And so what I'm going to do this morning is I'm just going to lay out the vision and mission overall. Next week, we'll talk about gospel communities and how they are the bedrock of fulfilling our mission. In week three, we're going to talk about family ministry, which includes both what happens as a church as a whole, but also what happens in our individual households. In week four, we'll talk about the mercy and justice ministries of FBC, how the gospel is more than just good news for souls about the afterlife, but about how the kingdom of God is to transform culture and society right now. In week five, we're going to get creative. We're going to talk about the arts and the ways that God is glorified through visual, audio, and other means of creativity. And then finally, in week six, we'll talk about evangelism and church planting, how we are supporting churches and pastors and church planters across the globe. Our goal, therefore, by the end of this six-week series is that you'll know why we're here. You'll know what it is that we're doing, and that you will have what you need to be a partner in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll be up front with you as we talk about the terms vision and mission statements. I have to be honest, I've never been quite clear on the difference between like purpose statements, vision statements, and mission statements. A few years back, I was trying to launch an organization with a few other people, and we were trying to do just that. Okay, what's going to be our purpose statement? What's going to be our vision statement? What's going to be our mission statement? And it felt like every time I would say something, somebody else would respond, "Patrick, you moron, that's part of the vision statement, not the purpose statement," or "you ignorant miscreant, that's purpose, that's not vision." And so when I try to flush these things out of a vision and a mission statement, bear with me, because I feel a lot like Michael Scott trying to declare bankruptcy. All right? So show me some grace. But for us, our vision statement at FBC is that broad overall reason or goal that we exist. Our mission statement is how we seek to accomplish the vision. The vision of FBC is to worship God by following Him in His mission to fill the earth with His glory. So let me just try to briefly break that down. To worship God. That's why we're here. That's why we're here corporately as a church. But that's the reason that you personally as a human being exist. And so what that means for us as a church is that we have to first and foremost test everything we do, everything we think, with the question of, will God be glorified and delighted in this? In other words, will this activity, will this event, will this paradigm, will these thoughts and these words, will they first and foremost point to the greatness of God? And then will he be happy with it? Will he be pleased with it? And if the answer comes back no, or maybe, or we're not sure, then it stops right there. What we do is not about attracting people to FBC. It's not about being a cool, hip church. Right? I mean, look at me, right? It's not about being the biggest church, the most liked church. We exist for an audience of one. That's how our elders, that's how our pastors, that is how our staff think, and that's how every single one of us need to think. Now, of course, it's easy to wonder and to differ on what pleases God most, right? This is where we start to get into our arguments. In 2020, we have found that some believe that what pleases God most is voting for a certain political candidate. We found that others believe that what pleases God most is an organ in a brightly lit 18th century style sanctuary. Then there are others who think that what God is really pleased by is me just being happy. What pleases God is me being true to myself. All of that is garbage. Because the Bible tells us what pleases God most. Right? It's what we see God doing. I mean, you can tell a lot by a person by just what they spend their time doing. And for God, it's his mission. From Genesis 1 on, we see a clear purpose in the mind of God that he wants to fill all of creation with his glorious presence. He wants the earth to be full of holy people who worship him. And so that's the purpose that he gives to Adam and Eve. That's what he equips them to do. And even when they rebel, he doesn't relent from his purpose. But he promises to overcome the sin of the world. He promises to make a way for the redemption of creation. He promises that he will still fill all of creation with worshipers of his. The book of Revelation then shows us what this mission accomplished will look like. The book of Revelation guarantees that God will win this victory. And so in the meantime, in between Christ's first and second coming, God calls us, the church, to live in light of his mission, to live in light of his purpose, both in our character and in our deeds. And so as FBC, the way that we worship God is by following him in his mission to fill the earth with his glory. We exist to give God glory. How we do that is what we define in the mission statement. Right? This is the big vision for our church. The mission is how we seek to accomplish it. Our mission, therefore, is to partner as a family in the Holy Spirit to make disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples. We have very intentionally chosen the word partner for all the reasons that I listed in Philippians 1:5. Because to partner means, from a biblical perspective, that each of us come to the gospel of Jesus Christ and we commit our fortunes, we commit our time, we commit our energies, we commit our gifts, we commit everything to it. We solemnly covenant together before the Lord, saying we are sold out for the gospel. That's why we want to start calling our membership, or members of the church, why we want to start calling them partners. Right? Rather than you coming and expressing your desire to join the church and become a member, we want you to think of yourself as a partner of this FBC family. Meaning that we would all see ourselves as totally invested in making the name of Jesus known. You see, partnering is first financial. And we're not saying, hey, listen, give us all your money and go live in a van down by the river. But we are saying, does the use of your money point to a commitment to the gospel? The fact is that for most of us, the way we use our money, it doesn't point to that commitment. Partnering is time and service involved. Right? If I say I really do want to worship God with my life, if I really do want to live out his mission, that will be manifested by the way I use my time. If the best I can do is attend a Sunday morning service once every 6 to 8 weeks, then I think it's fair to say you're not a partner of the gospel. I mean, even if the best that you can do is come every single week, but you just come in, you sit down, and then you leave, I think it's fair to say that you're not a partner of the gospel. right? Does your life testify to a commitment to Christ and His mission? And I promise you, I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody this morning. I am preaching this to myself. I'm asking, are you all in? Are you even somewhat in? See, above all else, partnering is a mindset. It's a commitment. Because this isn't just a mere business relationship that we have here. Our partnership is one of family. And right here we encounter a problem. Because we all come to this term family with different definitions. Whether it be biological, built on common interest, maybe it's a positive, maybe it's a negative image we hold of family. All of us have been shaped by our context, by our backgrounds, to think different things of family. Moreover, in our radically individualized society, the idea of belonging to a group that will carry obligations of us is something that we really resist. I'm not obligated to anybody else. It's just about me. But just consider how often the New Testament uses the words brother and sister when referring to fellow Christians. Right? The first church didn't consider herself to be an organization that you joined. She considered herself to be a new body that you are born into when you are born again of the Holy Spirit. It's in Christ that we are new creations through the regenerating power of the Spirit. It is in that that we are connected. It is a divine and supernatural bond that holds us together. It's not based on preference or on personality. It is rooted solely in Jesus. And so that's why we say that we partner as a family in the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who has brought about our second birth in Christ. It is the Spirit who unifies us together, and thus it is the Spirit who holds the power for now living out the new life that we have received in Christ. You see, here we start to strike at one of the great seeming paradoxes of the Christian life. We have been given a mission by our Creator and Lord. We are told to go do something. For how will people hear the good news unless they are told? And how will they tell unless they go? And how will they go unless they're sent? Right, there's something for us to do. There's an act of obedience that's on us. But this mission will only be accomplished in the power of God. Right, our words, our rhetoric, our persuasiveness, none of these things is what brings people to faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, Paul tells us in Ephesians 2, is a gift of God. Something that the Holy Spirit imparts within the human soul. It's the Holy Spirit who removes the scales of spiritual blindness. It is the Holy Spirit who allows and enables us to see the truth and the beauty of Jesus Christ. And thus it is the Holy Spirit who makes us new as we receive and place faith in the risen Lord. And so my point, friends, is that everything that we talk about doing, everything that we'll talk about over these next 6 weeks, all the plans that we make, all the ministries that we craft and we seek to execute, they are all utterly pointless and completely ineffectual unless the Holy Spirit is at work through them. I mean, that is something that I've learned so much just in preaching. I'll have Sundays where I completely bomb. You're like, yeah, Patrick, that's every Sunday, you know. Well, back off. It's tough, okay? Give me some grace. Man, I'll have Sundays where I'm like, I laid an egg. That was terrible. And somebody will say, hey, you know, that really spoke to me. That really resonated with me. And the only thing I can say is, well, that had to be God, because I promise you it wasn't me. And the funny thing is, God's got a great way of humbling me. I'll have the opposite kind of sermons, where I'm like, man, that is the best message I've ever preached. I nailed that, man. My study was good. My theology was great. My delivery was spot on. Man, ship that one off to the Preaching Hall of Fame, because that's a gem right there, and it'll be crickets. Right? I mean, like, I work hard. I study hard. I try to craft the message and the delivery as well as I can. But friends, it is the Holy Spirit alone who makes these dry human words come to spiritual life. And so I want you to keep this at the center of your mind, not just today, not just in this series, but until King Jesus comes back. We're to work hard. We're to work efficiently. But the accomplishment of the mission of God is entirely in His power. That's why we want to avoid chasing trends. Why we want to avoid coming up with cool catchphrases or programs or campaigns. We don't want to be doing what's the latest thing that people seem to like. We want to keep ourselves centered on Christ, following Him in human obedience, but in divine power. And so as we follow Christ, as partners in a family, as we do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, what is that going to look like for us? It'll look like making disciples of Jesus Christ who make disciples. That's the simple commission that Jesus gave to the church before His ascension into heaven. He said, as you are going, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days until the completion of this age. Now, we have spent a lot of time in 2020 defining discipleship. You remember Jeff did a phenomenal job back in August for 3 weeks of defining the marks of a disciple. And so I'm not going to go into all of that again. But what I do just want to call your attention to, in Jesus' words, is the link between disciple and observe all that I have commanded. Right? Observing is more than just simple obedience. Observing means holding to the spirit, to the ethos of what Jesus commanded. Right? A disciple is one who prioritizes the things that Jesus says are priorities. Right? I'll say that again. A disciple is someone who prioritizes the things that Jesus says are priorities. Right? We're not talking about morality. We're talking about embodying the purpose for which you were created and redeemed. And to be a disciple will entail making new disciples. Right? That's the difference between making converts and making disciples. Converts are static people. Disciples are active. Converts just believe in something. A disciple seeks to do something with that. And so that's what we're going to flesh out over the next 2 weeks, is how we're making disciples. Gospel communities, family ministries, to be vehicles that would help you be a disciple of Jesus who makes new disciples. But to make new disciples in such a way that they can then go and make new disciples themselves. Right? I mean, I'm told that mission statements are supposed to be clear and they're supposed to be concise. But what I really wish our mission statement would say is something like making disciples who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples, and on and on and on. Right? Disciples replicate. Disciples multiply. And so these are our vision and mission statements. Right? This is what we say that we're about. And again, hopefully there's nothing new here. Right? I mean, this is what we've been trying to pursue at least the last 2.5 years since we launched Gospel Communities. But we felt like it was important, especially here at the end of 2020, to revisit and to re-articulate these things so that we, as an entire family, can be clear on what we are about and what we are not about. The problem is that mission statements can only go so far, right? Like, hopefully you read this and you say, yeah, man, I see that in the scriptures. There's nothing I can really disagree with. There, all that looks good. But where does it go? What do we do with this? As you walk out those doors in a moment, where does this go next? And so to help us be accountable to our vision and mission, to define and to flesh out the practicalities of this vision and mission, really to establish a rubric by which we can grade ourselves according to our vision and mission, we have established 5 pillars of the ministry here at FBC. I'm going to just briefly list and define them because these 5 will form the substance of our next 5 weeks. Again, as we flesh them out, not just in theory, but in practicality, we'll be saying, listen, here specifically is how we are carrying out our mission through this specific pillar. The first is gospel communities. A gospel community is a community of Christ followers on mission with God in obedience to the Holy Spirit that demonstrates tangibly and declares creatively the gospel of Jesus Christ to a specific pocket of people. Again, we've talked about gospel communities a lot, but it never hurts to remind ourselves of what they are. And for some of you, you may be new, and the way I often describe gospel communities to someone who is new, it's just that they're missional small groups, right? Because if you've been in church for some time, you've probably at one point or another been in a Sunday school class or been in a Bible study, maybe even been in a home group. The question that we started asking a few years ago, though, was what if there was a way to invite others to pursue Jesus with us in a way that's accessible and would be about more than just learning something? Gospel communities is the love child of that question. The second pillar of FBC is family ministry. And of course, as soon as I say family ministry, what probably comes to mind for most of us is kids and youth ministry, right? And listen, it does. And those aren't bad things. There's a reason we have those ministries. But for far too long, we have depended on these programs, depended on youth pastors to disciple our kids without ever taking personal responsibility in our households. Moreover, we have limited the idea of family ministry to just households that have kids without ever considering other family situations, other family dynamics that are present both in our church as well as in our community. And then on top of that, I just spent time moments ago trying to just redefine the word family itself. And so, yes, while family ministry will include children and youth, it also includes our households. It includes our men. It includes our women. It includes our older adults as we all seek to grow into a biblical family at FBC. Third pillar, mercy and justice ministries. I think we saw this almost every single Sunday in 2020. That God cares deeply about the physical and the social welfare of His people and His world in addition to their souls. Right? We saw that this was part of the way that Israel was to witness to the nations around them. That they were to demonstrate the righteousness of Yahweh by the righteousness or the justice of their own community. And we saw that that's why God then so heavily condemns Israel for her injustice. Not just because injustice leads to oppression, but injustice defames the name of the Lord. Fast forward to the New Testament, and you see how care for one another, care for the helpless, how these were hallmarks of the early church. And so in this third pillar, we're going to define how FBC manifests the gospel through the showing of mercy and justice. Fourth pillar, creative arts. We talked about this before. We talked about it in the book of Ecclesiastes and the second commandment. We talked about elsewhere. We are visual, auditory, and otherwise creative creatures. Just as God created, we too, in His image and likeness, create. But the arts within the mission of God goes beyond just the music that we play on Sundays. Rather, the artist among us, you have an ample opportunity to use your gifts to follow God in His mission, to bring Him glory, to represent Him through these means. And so on this week, we'll seek to define how we do this as a church, but also to lay out some new challenges and opportunities for those who are artistic among us. The fifth and final pillar of FBC, evangelism and church planting. This here is what most of us who grew up in the church call missions. And I really want us to avoid using that term. Because Christian, all of your life is mission. And so we've titled this pillar, Evangelism and Church Planting, to focus us on the explicit verbal proclamation of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior through national and international partnerships. And so on this week in February, we'll highlight who are the partners that we work with, and we'll also highlight the trips that we hope to take nationally and internationally in the remainder of the year. I think sometimes we just need to remind ourselves of why we're here, to remind ourselves of what we're doing. As I look around the room this morning, I know for some of us, you've been at FBC for decades. You have seen trends come and go. You have seen pastors come and go. But I hope this morning you don't see this as just the latest trend or the latest campaign. I hope you see these things that we discuss as just the simple biblical calling that we have as Christians and as a church. And so I hope that this series will encourage you and help you to refocus on the essentials of the mission of God. Others of you are new. Very normal in our community, right? Between the university and the base. Some of you will end up being here for a long time. Some of you honestly are just passing through for a few years. Whichever it is, I hope that this series will help you see what FBC wants to be about and how you can partner with us for the time that God has you here. Moreover, it has always been our prayer for you that as long as God has you here, that you would grow in your faith and walk with Christ, that you would be stronger when you leave than when you got here. And even more than that, that you would take the things that God has taught you here and that you would take them with you to the next place that God takes you. And so for all of us this morning, I'm just going to ask you three things over the course of this series. First, I ask you to invest your time in our new church-wide Bible reading plan. You can find it on our app. You can find it on our website. But in this Bible reading plan, we just want to journey through the Gospels of Matthew and Mark just to help us refocus on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Second, I want to ask you to invest your time in prayer, to genuinely ask God to soften and to shape our hearts to His will, that we would be about what He wants, not what we want. And then third, I'm going to ask you this morning to put your yes on the altar. I know I use that phrase a lot, but to whatever God would call you, whatever He would call FBC to, say, my answer is already yes. Would you commit this morning to knowing God and His Word, to communing with Him in prayer, and then to submit to His will, that His will would be done above all things? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come simply to praise You, to exalt Your name, to testify to the world of Your greatness. For just simply in Your character alone is glory, is beauty. But then how You demonstrate that character through what You do. That, Father, You create a good world, not because You need that world. And then You create human beings, not because You need them, but because in Your goodness, You desire to share Your glory and beauty. And You want to do so with us. And then that, Father, when the world You created rejects that offer, that in Your mercy and grace, You forgive. You make a way for redemption, a way that would cost Your Son His life. And so not only do You come to rescue us, but then to reintegrate us in the very purposes for which You created the world. To be with us. For us to follow You and what You're doing. That in that activity of worship and obedience that we would truly be in relationship together. Father, it is so easy when we look toward a new year, when we look toward resolutions, to naturally look back. We make new plans and new resolutions because we see how we didn't quite do it in the past year. And Father, it is easy to get trapped in guilt, to get trapped in shame, to be paralyzed by those things, so that in a year from now, as we're beginning 2022, we'll be in the exact same place because we were so paralyzed by our inadequacies. Neglecting the reality that in our weakness, You are made strong. That in our inadequacies, Christ is shown to be abundantly adequate. And so I pray this morning, Father, that we would not be trapped in guilt or in shame, for there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That we would cease walking in our own power, that we would stop trying to do better, and we would just come and we would surrender. And so direct our eyes, Father, to your Son, Jesus Christ, that in just simply beholding Him, everything else would be made clear. And so, Father, may this be the beginning of our response. A response that doesn't end as the service ends, that doesn't end as this day ends. A response that goes on and on and on until King Jesus returns. Make your purposes, your desires abundantly clear to us. And may we respond in worship and in obedience. It's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is intended to be a supplement to your local church and cannot replace your regular involvement there. If you are not currently part of a local church, we would be happy to assist you in finding one. Simply contact us through our website, www.fbcwberg.org.